אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Yeah, my name's Dr. Rochelle Guild. I'm from Western Australia. I'm presently working in Western Australia.
I wanted to talk to you about the coronavirus. Have you ever seen anything like that in your lifetime, in your career as a doctor?
No, I mean, I've never been, in my lifetime, there has not been a global pandemic, severe respiratory illness with a high mortality rate. This is a new thing, certainly in my lifetime.
So what is the difference between this virus and the previous contagious diseases that we experienced, like the SARS, etc., even Ebola?
Well, with SARS, it was able to be contained after a period of time, and it didn't spread completely all over the entire globe. Whereas with this COVID-19, with our current lifestyle, everyone's flying from place to place, traveling everywhere. There's higher population density, and the specifics of this specific virus, of the way it's transmitted, has meant that it's now becoming a worldwide problem.
And how do you compare it to the normal flu virus?
At least 30 times higher mortality than the flu. Probably similar level of contagiousness, you know, of ability to cause contagion.
Well, it actually paralyzed the globe. I mean, everywhere. I mean, the airlines, everything stopped. And do you think that countries are doing enough to stop it?
Well, if you look at an ideal sort of situation, it would be like the Diamond Princess, where 699 people got the condition. However, all of them were in an ideal situation in that there was enough medical care for everybody that was affected. So that resulted in quite large numbers relatively being very unwell or dying. 7 patients out of the 699 people infected have died, which gives it a 1% mortality, which is quite high. And there are another 20 or another 15 that are actually still unwell. So 15 plus 7, 22 over the 696 gives 3.1% mortality. So certainly the common cold does not have a mortality rate of, or the flu have a mortality rate of 3%. When you then think about what's happening in Italy, where present 31,000 31,000 cases, and this is as of the 18th of March, where we're talking today, they've got 2,500 people that have died and another 2,060 in a critical condition. So their mortality rate is not in a, you know, they don't have enough beds, they don't have enough ventilators. Their mortality rate has now gone up from 1 to 3% to 8 to 14%. So we need to be really, really careful, and the world does need to shut down to some extent to lower the rate of infection so that we have the capacity in hospitals to deal with the problem.
I wanted to ask you more about Italy. Italy has been shut down already a few weeks ago, and still people are getting infected. I don't understand.
Yeah, well, what the thing with coronavirus is, and it's a new condition, we're only still learning about it, but one issue is that there are a lot of people that can actually get the condition and can get COVID and have absolutely no symptoms at all. So there was a study done in Italy of in a town where they tested about 3,000 people right at the very beginning of the crisis, and they found 80 people or 88 people already had coronavirus at that point from the testing. But 75% of those people had no symptoms at all and didn't even develop symptoms. They sent everybody home. 10 days later, the number of cases in that village was 8. So it went down. So those people, because they were home and isolated and not spreading it around, the case rate went down. What's happening in the rest of the world, and including in Australia, is there must be a very large number of people floating around already with no symptoms that have the coronavirus that are passing it around to people, causing, you know, the condition to spread. And that's the biggest problem with coronavirus.
So what should we do to stop it?
Well, ideally, and this is a thing where Israel's right on track as opposed to Australia, is that they've already, on March 12th, they'd had 14-day home quarantine in place. They had, by March 14th, I know they had group gatherings restricted to the size of a minyan, you know, 10 people, versus in Australia today on the 18th of March, gatherings are still, you know, 100 people can gather at a time. Public transport's open, shops are open. You know, the 14-day quarantine only came in the last few days as of the 18th of March. Schools are still open. So we're not able to, it will still continue, the numbers will still continue to grow. Also, there aren't enough tests. So in a country like South Korea, they very rapidly did 200,000 tests, detected 8,000 patients. Anyone that was infected, they, you know, they isolated them. So that they're remaining similar to the Diamond Princess, with that between 1 and 1.7% mortality, really low, as opposed to other countries like Australia. We've so far, compared to their 200,000 tests, we've only done 8,000 tests, and we're not testing everyone. There are people that are having symptoms even that can't be tested because there's not enough reagent. They're only testing people that have come from overseas that have symptoms. So then there will be many people, for each person that's been picked up, there'll be more people floating about, not knowing they even have it, accidentally spreading it around.
We're talking to Dr. Richelle Guild, and you're listening to SBS Shalom Australia, broadcasting with Nitza Lowenstein. My big question, Dr. Richelle Guild, are the hospitals here in Australia are ready for that sort of crisis?
I mean, really, it would be better to discuss this with people that are presently in hospital, because my practice is not a hospital-based.
Is the system coping right now?
So at present, that's an interesting question. A lot of doctors that I know have incredible anxiety about what is to come. I've been having personal, you know, phone calls from medical friends at 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning. People have... most doctors are well aware of what's happening and of what's about to happen. I'm in a discussion group of 27,000 doctors. It's the only topic being discussed. Immediately when people have put letters of petition up, there are 1,000, you know, comments and signatures. You know, immediately there's almost unanimous support that more needs to be done to prevent gatherings and to increase the sort of level of social isolation, to put more quarantine in place, to close people off so that we can limit the spread.
Dr. Richelle Guild, what would be your advice to the individuals?
As an individual, and this is the sad thing about it, it's not so much that any individual's single action makes as much difference as the action of an entire group. And as a group, we need good leadership to be out there saying, these are the things we're putting in place. And as I said before, that's what the Israeli government have done so well, what's been done so well in South Korea, in Singapore. However, on an individual level, it's about sensible things. So staying at home as much as you can, washing hands regularly. You can wash the virus off your hands, not attending big groups. If you're able to work from home, work from home. If you're able to avoid public transport, avoid public transport. If you're able to homeschool your children for a period of time, keeping things very clean and tidy. So washing hands a lot and being careful with surfaces. So that includes washing your mobile phone. There's a study from Princeton and UCLA recently that they measured how long the virus can survive in different environments. And even if someone puts coughs or touches with hands with virus on it, if they touch plastic or stainless steel, the virus, you know, able to be contagious 72 hours later, that's 3 days later. Cardboard, even in the air, if it's rotating around, they tested it by rotating it around inside a drum, the virus is still contagious in the air after 3 hours.
Dr. Richelle Guild, thank you so much for your time and for your good advice.
עקבו אחרינו והפיצו אותנו דרך דף הפייסבוק שלנו.